Okay, let's get our Bibles open up to the book of Proverbs once again. Proverbs, we're going to look at, start in chapter number 28. We're going to finish, spend most of the time in chapter number 3. But we're going to go ahead and start in Proverbs chapter number 11. We're going to look at tonight, we mentioned already that about trusting and what the Bible says about the word trust, actually specifically what the book of Proverbs says about trust. And those very familiar, famous verses found in Proverbs chapter number 3 is where we're going to spend most of our time at. But there are some things I'd like to bring out first to try to help us kind of reinforce what we're going to learn in Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. We started the series a number of weeks ago, and as I mentioned, usually we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, but with the book of Proverbs, the different way that it's set up with the many different Proverbs and the repetition of it, we decided to go by topic. And I've enjoyed it so far. I know some of you have expressed the same thoughts. We talked about the availability of wisdom to begin with. That's how we started. If you want God's wisdom, it's there. It's there for you. It's there for the taking. Not only is it there for the taking, it's something that's crying out to you. And then we also talked about the importance of receiving correction, because it doesn't matter if we have the wisdom, if we're not going to be willing to correct the things that it tells us to correct. And that's so many times I think we know the truths, but we must make sure that we're allowing the correction to happen in our lives, because if not, it's just going to be like a person who looks in the mirror and just walks away without fixing the blemishes they see. And I know I was reminded this past week that somebody says, you know, I learned a lot when it talked about how a wise man learns from a fool, but oftentimes a fool will not learn from a wise man, the importance of learning and receiving correction. And then we talked about the things that are an abomination to God. I know that was a fun subject. I know all those things that God hates. But I had a number of people say, you know, just put a new perspective on it. In all reality, some things that were in their lives are things that God does not want to be there, and they're things that are an abomination unto God. And then we spoke about iron sharpening iron. We talked about the importance of good, godly friends and how we should sharpen one another. There's a proper way to do that. But at the same time, what type of friends do we have? Are we having somebody that's stoking the idea that your flesh, or someone who's trying to encourage you spiritually? And last week, we talked about the benefits of fearing the Lord. I know we talk a lot about fearing the Lord because it's one of those keys that just unlocks the successful and blessed life. And we talked about all the different benefits are there. So tonight we're going to look at trusting the Lord. And that word trust, we think of it, most of us would say, well, I know what the word trust means. But think about it. When it talks about having confidence in, being sure of, taking refuge in, resting in, being dependent upon. So when we talk about trust the Lord, it's saying that we should have confidence in Him. We should be able to rest in Him. We should be able to depend in Him. We should be able to rely upon Him. So when it says trust not certain things, what you know what that means? We should not rest in, we should not have confidence in. So Proverbs chapter number 11, and we're going to look at Proverbs 28 and 29 very quickly. Just to look at some things, and if you wanted to take an outline tonight, this would be things we should not trust in, things we should not trust in. There's a verse that I learned as a child, as a school, learned a song. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm not going to sing it for you today. I've been singing it throughout the day, and Andrew says, hey, you should sing it, Dad. But I said, no, it's not there yet. But it's an interesting, it's found in Psalms chapter number 20. We all trust in something. We all trust in different things. Proverbs 11:28 says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So one of the things we should not trust in is our riches. One of the things we should not trust in, the Bible says, is our riches. We should be trusting in the Lord. He gives us resources. He gives us resources for a purpose. Everything we have is something that we're supposed to bring honor and glory to God with. He not only gives us resources, but better yet, looking at it, we are a steward of those resources. And as a steward of the resources God gives us, a manager of the resources God gives us, we remember that we're not trusting those resources. We're trusting in the Lord. So if you're going to trust in your riches, the Bible says you're going to fall. And there's different ways to fall. I understand. They said, Pastor, what do you think about all those people that are rich and they have all these things and they die rich and other things? You know, we should not be envious. We learned that. We should not envy wicked men. We looked at Psalms 37 last week, talked about those desires and what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord means that we have all of Him. But that all is not out of a fear that we're scared he's going to hurt us. But that all is, I don't want to do anything that would disappoint him, anything that would displease him. And if he gives us riches, if he gives us resources that are plentiful, we should still treat it the same way if he gave us riches and resources that were not as much. We went through last night, discipleship class. We went through lesson number 10 or 11. We went through the finances, and the person I went through had a good time with it and enjoyed it and explained, you know, we looked at it. The reality is every good gift and every perfect gift coming from where? Coming from above. Everything we have belongs to God as a believer of God. We've been bought with a price and we are stewards of it. So if we take and we use the riches God has to instill a trust in that instead of God, you're making a mistake. You're setting yourself up for failure. Why is that? Because the riches could go away. And if you're not learning to depend and trust in the Lord and have that confidence in him, and you're not resting in him, you're missing what the desire he has for your life. And we're going to learn in a little while how he leads and guides your steps. Now let's go to Proverbs 28. Should not trust in riches. Proverbs 28 is probably a little bit more that is probably more up most of our alleys with something we might struggle with. Riches is something that we are confident in, and sometimes people do that with their giving. I will give as long as I have enough riches to make sure I can not take care of my needs, but instead be happy and healthy and all those different things. Proverbs 28, look what it says in verses 25 and 26. Proverbs 28, verses 25 and 26. The word of God says, he that is a proud heart stirreth up strife. Now remember that. You know, anger cometh by contention. A proud heart is the one that stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And it's not referring to you physically in the idea that, hey, pastor, you must really trust in the Lord because how big you are. It's not that. It's the idea that our lives will be something that has been truly extremely blessed. Verse 26 also says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, once again, probably we would not write that ourselves. That would not be the thing that we would say, oh, if I'm trusting in my heart, I'm a fool. No, most of us would say, hey, I can trust my heart. I can depend on my heart. I can do this and that. And that's the natural thing. That's what the world will tell you. And as we've been learning through those Beatitudes, that is completely false. Our heart is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. We cannot trust our heart. It is a fool, the Bible says. And I'm glad it says it here. And sometimes I'm glad how emphatically the Bible says it and how it's very easy. Some people say certain parts of the Bible they don't understand. This is not something that's hard to understand. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. If you can bring the two verses together in verse 25 and 26, a person that trusts in themselves is a person that's prideful. And when they're dependent upon themselves, they are acting foolish. And when they act foolish, they will stir up strife. We need to remember when there's concerns, there's biblical ways of dealing with that. But when you see someone that's trying to begin and stir up strife, the Bible says where that comes from, it is something that is a proud heart. A proud heart is a person who trusts in their own heart and is a person the Bible describes as a fool. They're not going to be delivered and they're not going to live that blessed life. Now take your Bible to Proverbs 29. Here, verse number 25. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So there's two different snares. And sometimes people will say, even as a pastor, and once again, we consider everything everybody talks. This is not a dictatorship. This is we believe and trust that the Lord Jesus Christ is our, he is the preeminence of the church. He is the head of the church. That this is something that God is the one that runs our church. And he's the one that, you know, we do things according to his plan, do things according to his purpose. But sometimes people will say, hey, pastor, if this person feels this way and they might cause problems if they don't, we can't be afraid of man. Now, it doesn't mean that we ignore people. We prayerfully consider any type of suggestions. But at the same time, if someone is trying to stir up strife or someone's trusting in their own wisdom and they bring up things and you say, well, if we don't do things this way, we have to be concerned or worried or fearful what the reactions may be. That's the whole idea, is if you fear man more than you fear God, you're setting yourself up for a snare. You're setting yourself up for a trap. You're setting up for yourself to fall, as the Bible is talking about just verses earlier. But it says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And that's what we should desire, is to be safe. The Bible says in Psalms 56:3, for what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what man, what flesh can do unto me. Boy, that's hard to do sometimes, because we're all human. Most of us enjoy getting along with people. Most of us enjoy being liked. I think some people just don't. They'd rather be left alone, and they give off that vibe that they don't want friendship and things like that. But most people want to be liked. But most of the times we allow that to come to the point that if I don't surrender, if I don't cave, if I don't compromise, that person may not be my friend anymore. We cannot fear them more than we fear God. Remember last week, the fear of God isn't, hey, I'm scared that that person is going to attack me. It's, I love that person so much, so much. I wouldn't want to do anything to harm them, shame them, or do anything that might disappoint them. And we use the illustration of husbands and wife that have a good relationship. I don't want to do anything to disappoint them. It's not the idea I'm afraid of my wife, or a lady might be afraid of her husband. No, that's not it at all. The fear of the Lord is someone who embraces and all stands in awe of God and say, how much I love you. I don't want to do anything that would disappoint you. So let's go now to Proverbs chapter number 3, and we're going to look at who we should trust in, who we should trust in. Proverbs chapter number 3, I know many of us could quote these verses in verses 5 and 6, but I once again, trusting in the Lord is found so many times in the Bible. There is not a theme that you're going to wear out. It's something that the Bible says much about it. We should say much about it also. So we see here a thrilling consequence, a trusting confidence, and a total commitment. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, and that, what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to take not every single word, because most of us know what some of the words mean, but we're just going to walk through the verses, make some application here about trusting in the Lord. It says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, actually let's read it together. If you know it by heart, you can just say it along with us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I love that last phrase, he shall direct thy paths. The greatest reward we can have is knowing the will of God. There is no greater compensation that we can have than knowing what God wants me to do. You say, what about riches? If you don't know what God wants you to do with the riches, what part is it? To know what the God of the universe wants you to do with your life, with directions on what you should say, who you should marry, what job you should have, what church you should be a part of, how I should treat my husband, how I should treat my wife, whatever decisions are, is understanding that is the greatest compensation that has ever been put, is the fact that we can have the Lord directing our steps. But that's at the end. So we'll get that to the end. So let's go ahead and start at the beginning. That word trust, as we mentioned, is a confidence and something that we can be sure of, something we can rest in, something we can take refuge in. I know sometimes when there is a storm that's coming, sometimes people like to go to a secure area. And we know there are people out there who trust in their houses, maybe at the Outer Banks, and they're having this hurricane party that's coming, and even the hurricane party's there, and they're saying, hey, I'm not going to leave. I trust where I'm at. My house has stood through all the other hurricanes. It's going to make it. And they're there, and they're having a party about it. And even though people will come and say, hey, you need to leave. And I understand it's your property and all those other things. But at the same time, they're trusting in something that everybody else says is not trustworthy. Now, others will come, and I know before we said, hey, if there's a big storm coming, and because a part of our church, a majority of our church is brick, and it's in certain locations, if you want to come. I remember the first hurricane we were here, and we had those two little ones, you know, Christian and Andrew, it was 3 and 1. And everybody was saying it was that first year, and it was that hurricane that came through. And they're saying, hey, you don't stay at the parsonage, you know, don't be near windows. And they were telling us all those different things. And so we sat in the nursery area there for a long time, waiting out the storm. After a couple hours, I was like, man, this is dumb. And so I went out, and I didn't go outside running around or anything like that, but I wanted to see what was going on. I hadn't experienced a hurricane before, but I understood where the trust levels are, what makes sense and what doesn't make sense, and hiding hiding inside the nursery. I don't think I needed to. Not the little ones being in there. I get that. They might not be able to. But at the same time, I went around, looked around, saw how some of the branches had come off and all those other things. There are certain places that we can trust in, and certain places that are trustworthy. Now, that condo at the beach that's all the way up high and, you know, all those different things is probably not the best place to be in the middle of a hurricane because of the storming and the flooding. But there are people who put their trust in that instead of going to a place that is safe, and they rest in that and they learn something. I cannot rest in that. It failed me. But I want to tell you that if you will learn to rest in God, He will not fail you. And the amazing thing is, what does it mean to rest in God? Because that is such a challenging thing. Rest in the Lord with all that. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Psalms 37, I think it's 7, says rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Or wait patiently on Him. You know, it's there. And it says, if you truly want to find rest, this is where it happens. It's where the trust is at. We see Paul and Silas singing from the prison cell. Why is that? Because they trusted in God. We see Joseph not getting upset and angry at Potiphar's house or at the prison cell. Why is that? Because they trusted in God. And you see circumstance after circumstance. Stephen sitting there, and says they saw as a face of an angel, and as they were throwing rocks at him. You know, what did you see? He saw a man who trusted in God. He didn't see someone who was worrying, that he was able to rest and rest. And he's like, man, I missed that rest. I don't know where that rest is. It seems like it's so far away from me. I struggle with that. I worry. I have anxiety. All those other things that are coming up inside me. How do I fix that? You learn to trust in Him. Because if you trust in Him, that's when you're going to be able to rest and relax in Him. And lots of times I understand the word confidence and being sure of and the dependence, but truly trusting in someone means that we can rest. For instance, we sit in chairs, you know, that old fashioned how they used to teach you faith, you know. You sit in a chair, you don't usually pick up the chair and see if it's going to hold you, do you? No, you sit in it. And some of them are comfortable, and you rest in that because you don't think it's going to fall apart. I saw somebody recently fall over in a chair. First, you check on them, make sure that they're okay because you're worried about them. But then you laugh because it was just silly because they accidentally tried to put their feet up and just kind of went over. And it was like, you okay? And it's like, that was dumb. they were trusting in the chair, but then they went and did something that was crazy. And I want to help you understand that resting in the Lord deals with this trusting in Him. Because if we can trust in Him, we can say, I don't have to worry about what the next step is. God's going to lead me in that next step. He's going to give me that direction. So that's the word trust. Who are we supposed to trust in the Lord? I think we all know what those words mean. With, and that next phrase, all. Now, we're stopping there. I know most of us say, hey, I know what all means. I don't need you to explain to me what the word all means. But this means with the whole quantity, the whole extent, all of it. Doesn't mean just part of it. And you see with that next word, trust in the Lord of all thine heart. So what it's saying here is that you cannot have that divided heart and have that rest and that trust because of the fact that you can sit there and say, hey, I trust in the Lord, but then I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's a challenge. There's so many people missing rest today, and they live lackadaisical Christian lives, and they live lives that are defeated, and they worry, and they anxious, and they miss the victorious Christian life because they want to trust God with their soul, but they don't want to trust God with their children. They want to trust God with their soul. Hey, God, I'm trusting in You to save my soul from hell, but I can't trust You with my checkbook. I can't trust You with this relationship. I can't trust You with forgiving somebody. I can't trust You with what Your word says because that's too hard, but I know I can't do anything about my soul. That's what he's saying. If you truly want to find that rest, and if you truly rest in the Lord, if you truly want Him to direct your paths, as it says in verse number 6, we must be something that's done with all thine heart. Remember what we learned in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I think so many Christians today, they don't see God working and moving. It's just part of their routine. They're just part of it. And they just keep on going and keep on going. And they know they're supposed to be at church. They know they're supposed to read their Bible. And they know, but they don't see God moving in their lives and doing certain things. And that's not every moment of every day. Understand that. But at the same time, when you truly have a singled heart, it's going to be full of light. And as you're there, you're going to be able to see God working and moving in your heart and life. So trust in the Lord of all thine obviously refers to your personal, that word heart. What does the word heart mean? That's interesting. Most of us think about the heart, the physical heart talks about the blood pumping organ that's inside of our chest. But we've come to learn to know that the word heart here is mentioned in the Bible is referring to the center part of our life, where our feelings come from and our emotions come from. It's I like the way one preacher put it, the decision-making part of our life. What makes our decisions for us? If we are going to be able to trust in the Lord with all of the decision-making part of my life, every part of me that makes that decision, I'm going to learn to trust in Him because of the fact that He's God. So the decision-making part, so that as you see, it continues on my heart, the center part of his life in verse number six. I'm sorry, continues on in verse number five, and lean not. Now, there's a danger here. Some people lean on things. What do you think about leaning? Lean means to rest in. So if I'm over here and I'm going to lean up against this banister or this piece of wood, I'm sitting there, and what am I doing? I'm letting this support me. I'm resting on it. I'm leaning on it. So it says, lean not onto what? Your own understanding. So this is the thing that you must realize. We must forsake our own thinking, our own understanding. You say, well, if I'm supposed to forsake my own thinking, my own understanding, what am I supposed to think on? It's right here. It says it right here, that we should trust in Him and we trust in His word because our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It even says that in Proverbs, as we looked in verse 28, it's a hard verse to listen to, but he says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And the reason why people are acting foolish today is because there's so many people out there trusting their own heart and trusting their own heart, and they're making foolish decisions because they're doing it based off of what the world is telling them instead of what the word is telling them. So if we will learn to trust, not lean, and that's what we normally do, because we got a tough decision ahead of us. What do? We sit there and we reason it out. Some people take out a piece of paper and they take out a pen and they begin writing fors and against and reasons. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There's times when I'm making decisions, I look at that. But the most important thing I need to do is get on my face before God and say, God, I trust you with my heart. I trust you with my life. Look into scriptures, let that help make my answer. But God is not going to show us how to direct our lives until we're willing to forsake and not lean unto our own understanding. So leaning, many times this is what we're depending on. I'm depending on this to hold me up, because if this wasn't here, I'd be falling over because of the way I'm laying on it or holding on to it. So what are we leaning on today? I mean, today we make decision after decision after decision. So, Pastor, what do you mean? When I get up in the morning, should I decide whether, you know, ask God whether I should drink milk or water? Don't take it to that extent. But God does say, whatever you eat or drink, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. There are certain things we should be careful with, and as we're making decisions. But if we will learn to not lean on our own reasoning, not lean on our friend's reasoning, but instead to do what? Trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean to thy own understanding. What does the word understanding mean? Wisdom, knowledge. I've heard some people's wisdom and knowledge before, and it was foolishness because of where it came from. Because where that what they read, what they were a part of. We read sometimes people that reads that those evolution things, and they're super smart and they think they got all the answers, and they go and they explain all those things. And then you begin to just give them some simple instruction and some wisdom, and their eyes can be opened and they can say, you know what, that makes sense. Maybe I should look at that. Maybe I should consider that. Maybe I should learn about that. But no. What they're doing is they're leaning on their own understanding. Your understanding can be wrong. The way you look at things can be wrong. Is don't lean into your own understandings. Instead, embrace what God wants us to do. And then he says, I'm going to direct your paths. Because that's what we need. We need God's will. We need God's desire, what God's longing for us, what God wants us to do. So many of us sit and we sit in a lethargic Christian state because of the fact that we're leaning, well, you know what? I think we should do this. And we make up excuses why the world's gone so far and so bad, I can't be a witness. Or we've made up so many excuses about certain things. I can't read my Bible. I can't pray. Or because of this and because of our own understanding, it doesn't make sense for you to be here tonight. It really doesn't, unless you have a spiritual interest. Why would you show up and listen to a guy talk or preach for 45 minutes or 40 minutes? Why would you give? Things like that. It's because we don't want to lean to our understanding when it comes to that. People watch you and say, well, why do you go to that place four times a week? Why do you go out and tell people about Jesus? Why? And there, it doesn't make sense. But here's the thing is we've accepted part of that. We have accomplished part of that wisdom. We have an understanding. You're here on Wednesday night because you believe it and you understand the importance of it. But there's still parts of our heart sometimes that are leaning to our own understanding. And because we're leaning to our own understanding, we're not having that trust completely. Trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. That's when we find the rest, is when we learn to say, you know what? I'm supposed to be faithful. I'm supposed to be here. I got that part. And if we continue to just reason out every other part, what does the Bible say? Why do we show up at church? It helps us, yes, but the main reason why we show up is because God tells us to. He says he wants us to be here. He says he wants us to be faithful. If it's based off of the preacher, then you know what? People aren't going to show up because sometimes the preacher is going to do good. Sometimes the preacher is going to do bad, you know, whatever. But if it's the word of God we're coming to hear, if the word of God's being preached, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to show up because God tells me to. So don't lean to your own understanding. Don't let that support that. Now, look what it says once again in verse number 6. In all, once again, it's the same thing. It's the whole quantity there, ways. Now, here's what the key of the true trusting in all thy ways, all thy ways. When we talk about ways, we're talking about your course of life. That means every area of our life, all my ways. And we like to say, hey, if I give God 1/7 of my week, talking about a Sunday, and I give some of my finances, all's good. That's not found anywhere in the Bible. It is supposed to be completely all in is what he desires. My son, give me thine heart. He wants all of us. And does that mean that we cannot enjoy other things? Obviously not. But at the same time, if the enjoyment becomes something that's more important to us than God, it becomes an idol in our life, and no longer we're going to be leaning to his understanding for us, but instead our understanding for that thing that we worship and want so much. That next word, acknowledge. So that word acknowledge means to admit to be true, to notice with peculiar regard. You think about it. So in everything we do, we should consider God's will and God's desire for us. So if it's saying, in all thy ways, so whatever the way is, you're here at church, the way you're listening, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So I'm acknowledging that there is a God. Okay, wonderful. Then that should dictate how I do what I do. But you say, well, God doesn't really care about this or that. That's what he's saying here. If you truly want God to lead and direct your paths, the greatest compensation we can have, knowing God's will for our lives, we learn to understand that all thy ways, acknowledge, admit that it's true that there is God. Notice with particular regard. Okay, I had this decision to make. I'm regarding there is a God. I'm regarding that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I want to trust in him. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. And when we think about the word all, what does that mean? It means everything. It's completely in the content, the whole quantity, whether it's what I do at work, how I treat my wife, how I treat my husband, how I treat my church family, how I treat all those different things. I'm acknowledging there's a God in the way I treat you. Because if I don't acknowledge that there's a God, God's not going to be able to direct your paths, he's saying. It's a great reward at the end. It's something that is a thrilling consequence. It's something that's thrilling at the end. God will lead me and guide me in his steps, in his way, when I begin to look at you and say, the way I treat that individual is I recognize there is a God, and I want to treat that individual God's will for my life. How does he want me to treat him? Boy, that would change the way we treat others sometimes, wouldn't it? That would change the way that we act sometimes, wouldn't it? As I'm recognizing, with regard, I'm making an acknowledgement that there is a God. I admit that to be true, and I'm giving particular regard to the fact there is a God when I make my decision on how I'm going to live, when I make my decision on how I'm going to serve, when I make my decision on how I'm going to give, when I make that decision on how I'm going to treat others, when I make that decision on whether or not I'm going to be a soul winner, I regard the fact that there is a God that I should answer to. I think that would change our lives if we would look at it that way and how we treat our families. There's a God there. I'm trusting in him. I'm not trusting in that family member because they could fail. Trusting in him is not based off of the way that family member treats me. It's how I'm going to regard that there's a God. And because of that, and that's why he tells us, even those that are servants or those that are workers, be the best worker you are or have. Why is that? Because of the fact I regard there's a God. And I particularly regard that there's a God in every area of my life. I'm going to acknowledge him. Okay, so keep on going. We're almost there. And it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And then that last phrase, and he shall direct thy paths. That word direct literally means to cut a path or clear the way. It's exciting reality. Not only will God lead you, he will clear the way that he wants you to go. He will give you that next step of light. He will put it, Adrian Rogers wrote this. It says, if you will trust God and acknowledge him in all your ways, he will set an angel and a bulldozer ahead of you to clear the wilderness, level jungles, melt mountains, and fill valleys to make your pathway smooth. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the will of God, and the Christian submitted to it. There is no itinerary for the journey of life. It's filled with surprises. You find God's will for the rest of your life by finding his will for the next 15 minutes. Do what you know what he wants you to do today. Be faithful in the small things. The greater things will come. He will lead the way through. He will lead you the way. He will lead the way through the dark day. Now, I don't know about the angel riding the bulldozers or leveling the jungles, but he will give you the opportunity to do exactly what he wants you to do. And this step, he will make you an able, and he will be able to take that next step when we learn to trust and rest in him. You're like, you don't understand how high the mountain is or how low the valley is or how hard it is in front of us. We serve a God that can do all things. If we will learn to trust in him and acknowledge him in all our ways, I know there's a God. I shouldn't be looking at this. I shouldn't be listening to this. I shouldn't be acting like this. I shouldn't be this lazy. And once again, the only way that we can take these gems of wisdom from the book of Proverbs is when we learn to trust in the things that we've heard. It's sort of like the correction part. If we won't take the things that we've learned and say, hey, you need to be corrected over here a little bit. You need to work on this a little bit. If we can't learn from that, then why do we go through it? Why do we even listen to the Bible? Why do we even read it? Well, we're supposed to. But it's with your whole heart. It's allow him every part of your life. It's a thrilling consequence. It's out of a trusting confidence, a total commitment. There's a thrilling consequence. He will give you what he wants you to do. In the dark day, we need, you say, well, how do I learn to trust in him? Well, we do it through his word. We learn through his word. In these dark days, these things shine so brightly. You sit there and you read those Beatitudes we've been going through. They're completely opposite of what the world has to say. Completely opposite. You're supposed to be poor in spirit. You're supposed to mourn over your sin. You're supposed to do this and that. You're supposed to be meek and merciful. All those things are not for the world. The world hates those things. That it shines as light. If there's someone that acts that way, they are going to be a shining light example. Yes, are they going to first face persecution? They will. And what are you supposed to do that persecution? Push back? No, he says you're supposed to rejoice and that you're supposed to be exceeding glad. Who does those things? The person who's blessed, the Bible says. And so in his word, he shows us God speaks to our hearts. We understand that our prayer is a two-way street. We listen to God, but also we speak to him. His wisdom, we ask for it in James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Once again, it's the same thing. Nothing wavering. It's a all thine heart dependence. And when you are depending on him completely, you then take that step of faith. And by providence, God opens and closes doors. Every word of God is true. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So you think about it, what it says there, thy paths. Every area of your life he's interested in. Don't shut out certain things. That's the easy thing to do. Hey, I'm going to shut out my work life over there because that has nothing to do with it. Everybody's got to work. Or I'm going to shut out that relationship. I'm going to shut out that friendship. I'm going to shut out. And we shut out certain things. No, every path he's willing to direct you and lead you. To know the will of God is the greatest compensation of your life. Failure to know the word of God is often a result of our failure to do the commands. Obedience will give you enlightenment. As you're obeying, God will give you the next step. As you, once again, as you trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's not always easy. And sometimes it's just taking that next step by faith and asking God, God, shut the door. If there's something that is, if it's not the right step. But sometimes people step over so many things to be able to do with their own, because they're leaning on their own understanding. They're depending. This just makes so much sense. I need to do it this way. And then God can just stop me. God can. But what he's saying, if you want me to direct your paths, don't lean onto your own understanding. Depend upon him. So I'm going to trust him. So I wrote a couple things down. So I'm going to trust him. When he tells me how important it is to read his word, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to do it. Why is that? Because he tells me it is. Even when it doesn't seem like I'm getting anything out of it, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to trust him when he tells me to pray, when it seems like he isn't even listening, like Habakkuk said. It doesn't seem like it's making any difference. I'm still going to trust him. I'm going to pray because he's told me to. I'm going to trust him when he tells me to give, even though I don't know how it's all going to work out in the end. I'm going to trust him when he tells me to be a witness, even when my fear is so strong and people seem so opposed to it. I'm going to trust him when he tells me to be faithful to his house, even though things may not be exactly the way that I would do them. I'm going to trust him when he tells me to forgive, even when the other person doesn't deserve it. I'm going to trust him when he tells me to rejoice, even during the hard times, even when persecution and reviling happens. I'm going to trust him when he tells me to be still and be patient and see what God is doing. I'm going to trust him when I want to take action, but he tells me, let him work all things together for good. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him in every area of my life. So that way, he will be able to direct my paths. When we're leaning to our own understanding, he's like, I can't help you there. When we use our own wisdom, which is the world's wisdom many times, we begin to lean on that. And he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Look what it says in verse number 7. He repeats it in a sense. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He says, look, it's not about how we see it. It's about the way he presents it to us. Proverbs 16:20 says this. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And we've talked about that word blessed before. And we talked about the three different meanings, that the happiness that it brings. But we also talked about the idea that the life that God can bless and the life that God can use. And also what the world looks at as being blessed. When you see that, it's because we have so much. But happy is he. When is a person happy? Says they're going to be happy when they learn to trust in the Lord. That's when they're going to be happy. How come so many Christians say they're miserable? I think it's because we haven't learned to trust in them. We haven't learned to rest in them. We instead learn to rest in our own reasoning. It can't be different. It can't be changed. It has to be this way. If it's different than what the Bible says, you got it wrong. Don't lean unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I know that rest is something that has been away from me before. And I'm not saying, hey, and we mentioned before, when preachers preach, it is a goal that they're trying to strive towards too. It's not saying, hey, I've gotten there. I've made it. You can just watch me. No, that's what I want too. Some of those Beatitudes have really taken me out to the woodshed and said, you're nowhere close to that. Why aren't you doing that? That's where maybe some of your happiness is missing, where your rest is gone. Why are you anxious and worried when you do this? And the Lord's helping me. There's been times here recently I'd say, okay, Lord, even if you want to do this, I'm okay with it. If that's what you want, that's the way it's got to be, I'm good with it because I'm trusting in you. I'm not trusting in myself. Even if I had to let that go, or if I had to hold on to something, even though it might not be what I want, that's when I can learn, happy is he, the person who trusts in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, those two verses are things that are great and they're wonderful. Many times people's life verses are those verses. But God, that we would realize and understand the importance of trusting in you. Not just having it as a life verse, but instead living that life verse out. Trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning to our own understanding, and all of our ways. Lord, if there's some way, Lord, that maybe that's hidden to us. We might not see it, we might not understand it, but it's hidden to us. Reveal that to us. Lord, whether it's during this invitation time, whether it's on the way home, tomorrow in our quiet time, if we think that we're good and that we're right and that we're trusting you in every area, God, I would ask that you would speak to our hearts and reveal those things to us. Hey, you're not really acknowledging me here. You're not really trusting me here. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts the importance of learning to allow you to direct our paths. Thank you so much, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for that wonderful consequence. That's an amazing, thrilling consequence. God will direct my paths. I can know the will of God. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.